My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
They're longtime friends.
Let me tell you something real quick about Dibs that I'm sure not everybody knows.
And first-time partners.
Hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Now these two homegrown Bay Area boys finally come together to take over sports talk.
Get the hell off of my doorstep.
Major League Baseball, you stink.
It's Willard and Dibs. On 95.7, The Game.
Well, what a potpourri. Look, we're going to have plenty of Brandon Ayuk, but can we just spend, I'd love to, I don't know about you, can we spend a few minutes on that Team USA basketball game?
It was a fun one.
Ooh-wee.
We had the bullpen out there. There was yelling. There was finger pointing. There was people trying to accuse other people of being un-American. All this in a semifinal. Yeah. I wonder what happens on Saturday at 12:30. When you've got the big one against France, the host nation, with the gold on the line.
Well, we also had Draymond all over Twitter taking yet more, another round of veiled shots at Steve Kerr for his rotations. That has become the big, ugly word for Steve Kerr, rotations. Can we talk about that for just 1 second?
Yeah.
What's up with Steve Kerr and rotations? Why does that tick everybody off so much?
Because he played Joel Embiid too much, and Joel Embiid was not looking good for the parts of the game I saw, second quarter, third right. quarter. He was terrible, and with about 6.5 minutes yeah. to go.
And he saved the butt.
Well, about 6.5 minutes to go, we're out there watching the game, and director of sports goes, oh, here comes Embiid. There's a great idea. And then Embiid comes in with a couple of big buckets, and well, he did have one where he gets the ball top of the circle, and he tries to go dribble drive, and it's dribble, dribble, knee, out of bounds, and it's like, come on, Embiid. He is a little bit of a maddening player, and the second team that he went to late in the third, early in the fourth, it's like, man, this team's not very good, and yet they're all all-stars.
I think that's funny to me.
Like, when things don't go well, it's a buzzword for Steve Kerr,
exactly.
Rotations.
Like, think about what we're talking about here. This is Team USA. Has anyone ever, in the history of ever, in the sport of basketball, turned on the TV and gone, I can't believe they're going with Joel Embiid? You mean, like, last year's MVP? I mean, there's not like a wrong answer here. These are the superstars of the sport. But again, you know, guys can have off nights, good nights, whatever. Steph Curry found a heater. He was amazing. LeBron made big buckets down the stretch. But to me, it's more about history. Like, there's something there. There's something there about Steve Kerr that whenever it doesn't go well on a floor, it's rotations.
Well, Draymond Green is leading the charge.
I know.
So that,
which is interesting.
Well, it's beyond interesting. It's almost insubordinate, although he's not on that team.
I mean,
yet, you know, you've got one of your players openly criticizing you in your side job. It's not necessarily a great look. Draymond has every right to be as opinionated as he needs to be, and some of his opinions were probably spot on as far as rotations and this and that, but if I'm Steve Kerr, and I know he's not on Twitter, but I'm sure word gets back to him, that's going to be, I'd probably be a little annoyed by that.
I hear you, except for, I mean, I got talked out of that 2 weeks ago. I remember when I came in pretty bothered that Draymond went on, and who was the player? He went on somebody's podcast and was talking about who?
Jeff Teague.
Jeff Teague, thank you. He goes on Teague's podcast, and he's like, the Warriors, we were about to make a trade, and I told them that's a bad trade. And so they didn't do it. And I'm like, dude, Mike Dunleavy's not your intern. And if I were Mike Dunleavy, that would really upset me. And we all talked about it, and Ramona came on, and everybody sort of finally made their point to me, which I agreed with, which is, if you're the Golden State Warriors brass, by now, Draymond can't get to you. You're so used to it. You're so numb to the fact that he's going to say it, he's going to say it loud and in the wrong space and at the wrong time all the time, that it doesn't get to you. Steve Kerr, how many years ago was it that we read his lips? I'm so bleeping sick of Draymond. How many years ago was
that? Probably 5 years. Seven? At least one title ago. No doubt.
Right. He doesn't care. But you're right. It doesn't make it sort of any less stunning. And today, him tweeting about it is definitely a notch below what he did on his podcast last week, where he openly criticized the entire Team USA staff for not only benching Jason Tatum, but then accusing them of trying to make it look okay by benching Joel Embiid in the next game. I don't know. It just, that's what caught my attention. Best players in the world. And if somebody has an off night, Steve Kerr, rotations.
Right.
Idiot. What is it? What is it? Can he win?
I'd say it's the collection of talent. Specifically on the Team USA team. You have so many good players. You can't blame the players. You got to blame the coach.
You can't blame the players? You can't?
You're saying it tongue-in-cheek.
Okay. But I mean, like, I ask because it sounds very similar to the way we all talk here in the Bay Area after any given Warrior game. Again, I made that point all year, as if he is supposed to constantly know who's going to be hot and who's going to be cold before a game even starts. So Joel Embiid is the starting center for Team USA. he's supposed to just yank him? He's supposed to just go a completely different direction? I don't know. And by the way, I'm not saying he's always right by any stretch, right? Every coach, every person, everybody, we're all wrong all the time. But it's everybody's go-to, seemingly, every time. Steve Kerr's coaching a game and it's not going well. Rotations.
Yeah, forget the fact that outside of Steph Curry, they were having a hard time scoring the basketball for large stretches of that game, but rotation. You know, LeBron James is out there begging for calls, and you've got Anthony Davis not doing much of anything, and yeah, you can look at the rotations, because that's the easy way to point the finger, and that's just always been kind of a buzzword for Steve Kerr from his time here, where, like you said, you never know who's going to be playing well. You try to go with your set rotation going in, and it may work out and it may not work out. And certainly with Team USA, when you've got all these stars across the board, it's got to be even more difficult to try to figure out who to play and how much to play them.
So what's the overall takeaway, though? Like, I had, you know, we were playing around with this a few weeks ago. I told you I thought that they're not going to win gold. So when I saw the way that this was unfolding today, it didn't, like, blow me away. It didn't surprise me. But I think that moments like this are when you find out how much you actually care about this. So third quarter, they're still down. They start to
run.
Double
digits.
Yep, they start to make a little bit of a run. It's in that moment that you find out, each of you as an individual, you find out how much you really cared about this. So how did you react?
I mean, I reacted to where I cared, and I was watching it, and we were locked in on it, and, you know, other sports are kind of happening around it or not happening, but all eyes were on that game, and I was thinking about the whole notion of spoiler alert, but this game felt to me to be so big that if you really care about it, you're either watching it or following it, you're going to be aware of it. If you don't care that much about it, that's okay. It's your choice.
Sure,
it's
sure.
The semifinal of the Olympics, and there's Olympics going on all around us. And if you really care about it and you know that it's happening in that moment, you're going to find a way to watch it live or at least follow it live if you can. So this game, because it's Serbia, because it's the Joker, and they have other NBA players that they're facing, it felt like it was going to be a good game. And then when you know, I got to work early third, and you realize that they're down 8, they're down 11, they're down 13, and Serbia looks good, and the U.S. looks bad, then you start to lock in even more. Now, if it was like the game against Brazil, where it was really never in doubt,
sure,
let's see how Gui Santos can do, and let's see if the U.S. can win by 30.
Well,
I mean, that wasn't the same experience as today.
Right. I'm actually kind of thankful for it. Not because by any stretch I'm rooting for my prediction to be right. I'm very much rooting for it to be wrong. But I'm thankful for this because I do think that at times, Team USA, once the Dream Team started, you know, the first time it came around, it was such a novelty and it was just such an overwhelming emotional thing to see the likes of Jordan and Magic and Barkley and Bird all play together. That was amazing. But then in subsequent years, for a while before the rest of the world caught up, it became very boring. And it very much felt like an exhibition. It felt like the Globetrotters were on tour. And you know, you'd have players from other countries get beat by 48 points and then sit around and wait for autographs and take pictures and all of that. And I was like, after a while, that kind of just became a yawn to me. I like the fact that they got challenged and won. I love that. I hope they get challenged again in the gold medal game and win. Like, I think that, like, this was a memorable Team USA basketball experience. And if you go through the last, like, every 4 years when this happens, we don't always get those. You don't always get a memorable experience. You might get a gold medal and a bunch of 20-something point victories, but this one, you know, this is one that I think I'll remember. So that's a good thing.
It's great. It was very memorable because they were down double digits and it looked like they were in real trouble. And the last time that they didn't win the gold is going back to 2004. They took the bronze. And going into this year, the USA in the Olympics won 44-6. A total of 6 defeats. Included in that is 1972, where they got absolutely robbed by not only the officials, but by the Olympic officials as well. So you can count that one if you want. It's a loss. A loss is a loss, whatever. But you don't have that many losses even in their career. When they won bronze in 2004, they went 5-3 during those Olympics. So that was a time where, you know, you started to feel like you were reaching a low point. And since then, Team USA has taken it much more seriously. But I was just looking at it because I saw a stat earlier about how many NBA players there are in the Olympics this year, and the number that I'm seeing is 81. There are 81 Olympians playing in the basketball tournament.
Man, I tell you what, something else that caught my eye with all this. I wonder what you think about this. This might be a poor comparison, but I'd still like to try to make it because this is sort of like caught my attention. So I think, especially those of us in the Bay Area, we are one of the markets that follows a team that has a bona fide NBA one, but we dabble with the idea that he is past his prime and that his ability to still be an NBA one is over. LA is another one of those markets because LeBron James, for all his splendor, is also seemingly in the play-in tournament every year. So we've all decided that Steph and LeBron can no longer hang with the likes of Jokic and Embiid and Anthony Edwards. It has caught my attention that this group, for whatever reason, this group has come together, and when the chips are down, who do they look to?
Steph and LeBron, yep.
LeBron and one more.
It's Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, no doubt.
So could I argue, or is that unfair to say that in basketball circles, I know there's teammates and coaches, and so there's a lot that goes into this parenthetically, but those three are still the dudes.
Yep, still the dudes.
Those are still the dudes.
Without a doubt. And that's where you look at today's game, and Steph played 33 minutes of a possible 40, and he had a plus minus of 20. And he wound up being the guy who carried him. And LeBron played 32 minutes. And Kevin Durant, who came off the bench, he played 24 minutes. Steph was 12 of 19. Monster game.
But who'd they give the ball to? They're up by one, or they're up by Maybe they were up by three, whatever it was, 30 seconds left to go. And it's like you need a bucket to make sure this one gets put away. What'd they do? Kevin, ISO.
Exactly.
All net.
And before that, it was LeBron, dribble drive, get to the cup. He hit two monster reverse layups late. And Steph was the guy early on that helped to keep this thing close. He was hitting, I think he had seven threes in the first half.
Yeah,
and
20 in the first.
He was the only reason why this thing didn't turn into an Ottoman game for the Serbs. That, and the Serbs are known for their Ottomans.
Does this surprise you a little bit?
No, not at all.
It doesn't.
I'm looking at the breakdown of NBA players by country. The U.S. has 12. Canada has 11. Spain has 7. Brazil has 6. Australia has 11. Serbia has 5. So as you go through, every country now is replete with NBA players.
Absolutely.
So the gap has really narrowed.
That's not the surprise I'm asking about. Are you surprised that Team USA, the straws that are stirring the drink, are Steph, LeBron, and KD?
No.
Not Anthony Edwards.
No.
Not Jason Tatum.
No, he's not ready.
Not Embiid.
No.
I mean, MVP two seasons ago. Like, when you look at that, what this they're too old. They're too old. Are they? They're still running the show.
Right. This is a small sample size tournament.
That.
Embiid wins the MVP over the course of 82. And when you get down to nut crunching time in a game to get to the gold medal round, you turn to your veterans. You turn to a guy who's already won multiple gold medals in Kevin Durant. You turn to the greatest to ever do it, LeBron James. You turn to Steph Curry. Anthony Edwards in 2028, he's going to be the face of the Olympic team. And Jason Tatum. And you can look to Bam Adebayo and the other youngsters. Yeah. Their time will come to be the dudes. But right now, you turn to the OGs, Mark, when you need it.
I'm with you. I just look at it and I go, if we had asked this question before the tournament started, I don't think those would have been people's answers. Anthony Davis barely plays. Anthony Edwards has some nice games. In this one, he had 2 points.
Right.
Devin Booker's on a milk carton, even though he starts. Like, these are the guys that I'm being told, well, you're not going to beat them in the NBA season anymore. And yes, it's not a perfect comparison, but it has caught my attention that when the chips are down, the NBA still looks to those three guys.
Yes, because they've done it. LeBron's won 3 titles, if I'm not mistaken. He's won 4 titles.
Yep, 4.
Including a 4-ish, whatever. I don't want to get into that.
3 3/4.
Curry's got 4, and Durant's got 2. So there's your 10 chips right there in your finishing lineup. And Drew Holiday's got a couple. And so you've got guys who've been through it in the deepest of the deep water. And they may not be as bouncy as Edwards or as young as Jason Tatum, but they're guys who get in that spot and they realize what it takes to still win that game.
It's impressive, man.
Yep.
We're sponsored by Robert Half, Weatherden Dibs. Glad you're with us. 888-957-9570. Certainly, if you want to react to Team USA's come-from-behind victory, you can. But also, let's get into Brandon Ayuk a little bit, because every day, nothing has happened, but the story has changed. And today is no different, and we'll tell you how. Coming up next, Weatherden Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr, and you're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I got your back, Steve. I got your back. Yeah, I got your back. He's not perfect.
No, you don't. No, I do.
I mean, at least emotionally. You know what I mean? I'm not here to say that he doesn't make mistakes, because of course he does. Hindsight's always 20/20. I just think it's funny. I do think that in sports, usually when you're a badass and you win a bunch of championships, at a certain point, there's like a respect level to where people are like, yeah, that, like I may not have agreed with that one, but that guy knows what he's doing. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think Steve Kerr gets the benefit of the doubt from people. That's my point. And I think that's lame.
Well, locally anyway.
Yeah, well, even, I mean, maybe this is, again, I can't tell when I'm on social media, locally, nationally, whatever. I just hear a lot of people who think that a four-time championship coach doesn't seem to know what he's doing.
Yeah, and that just comes down to rotations. Well, honestly, if you lose in the semifinals or if you lose the gold medal game as a U.S. team that has a winning percentage of about 99, well, then you can be criticized because you don't lose when you're Team USA. This is supposed to be, pun intended, a layup. And I know the field is more difficult than ever before, and I'm looking at all the current or former NBA players that are in these Olympic Games. And if you go back to the original Dream Team, 1992, I think they faced one other NBA player. Right. So what this team is tasked with is much more difficult, and it's only getting tougher as the years go by, but you've got a team full of all-stars, and how many Hall of Famers are on this team? Probably eight or nine, if we want to run through
it. Question. I mean, a lot of them have like a long way to go. Like Anthony Edwards has a long way to go, but
right. But yeah. Right now, you would say
guys who have already cemented the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Embiid, LeBron, Curry, AD, Durant. Yeah. That's a quick five, I think. And Embiid, I think he's already cemented. Drew Holiday, you could make already a good argument for. Point being, you have a nasty roster and a team that should not have trouble with a country like Serbia. Even though they've got, you know, three or four NBA players and the greatest player in the game currently, you should be able to be in a better spot than down 13 with a minute to go in the third.
But it's one basketball game. That's like saying that, you know, like the Denver Nuggets should never, ever lose to Charlotte. But it happens.
This is not a game in January. This is not a garden variety regular season game.
I understand that.
But where you're playing your fourth game in 6 nights and you're coming off a back-to-back.
But it's one game. Like, one game. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Shot doesn't fall. Theirs do. Like, you can, you know, look, they won. They even imposed their will. But I'm not like offended that they were down by 11 at the half.
Offended, I'm just saying.
I don't think that that's like a joke or embarrassing or any of that. Like, they're playing against.
If you lose this game, Steve Kerr gets buried, and the criticism would be well founded. But they didn't. They gutted it out. They got a couple of unbelievably generous calls to go their way, and they won the game.
Couple things. First of all, if you're just joining us, Team USA rallies in the semifinal, if you will, the game to get to the gold medal game. They rally against Serbia. What was the biggest deficit? 13?
I thought it was 13.
At least 17.
Oh, was it 17?
Yeah, in the first half it got to 17.
Down by 11 at the half. They rally back in the fourth quarter. Steph Curry was the star. He scored 36. That was by far and away the biggest number. And Team USA wins. And Steve Kerr was getting it on social media, certainly in the third quarter. That's for sure. So we're talking that out. We'll also let you know that the Giants have won in extra innings in Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, they've got a winning record. Oh, my goodness. The San Francisco Giants
slow clap in the
have
back.
A winning record, although it is a game that is worthy of some conversation because they certainly tried a few different ways to mess this thing up, including a bottom of the ninth, two out, two strike, three run, Oppo Taco off of Camilo Doval. Should Doval lose the closer role, we can talk it out. FP is going to join us in about 23 minutes to get to that. What are some of the, Lucas, you put something up on Twitter about why Steve Kerr gets so much guff?
At 957 The Game on Twitter, whether he's coaching the Warriors or Team USA, why does Steve Kerr receive so much criticism? And we want to hear from you. You can call us 888-957-9570. You're welcome, Willard. Couple different...
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, you got it. I got your back, just like you have Steve Kerr.
No, you don't.
Yeah. A couple interesting responses. Number one, when he doesn't ride the hot hand, most importantly, when he takes Steph out of the game. Anyone watching saw this. And that last part is kind of something that you see consistently on his criticism. Another one, because he galaxy brains obvious decisions a lot. For those who don't speak millennial or online, galaxy brains means overthinking.
But I don't like that. I don't like the word. You can't be on a couch and tell me that something's obvious when someone's actually coaching the team and they have analytics and assistants and they're like, you can't tell me that. You know what I mean? Like that's a word that I would avoid. But okay, go ahead. What else?
Here's an interesting one. Because he's doing great while on the West Coast, had him or Curry done this with an East Coast team, they would have received so much more love and props. Facts don't lie.
Huh.
That comes from Niner Amarillo.
That's interesting. So wait a minute. The four rings don't have the sustainability here that they would on the East Coast? Is that what we're saying?
That's what Niner Amarillo says on Twitter.
Like, I've never heard someone be like, dude, Popovich got no clue. I've never heard someone say that. He hasn't won in I don't know how freaking long.
It's been a long time.
But I've never heard someone be like, this Pop guy, man. What are he galaxy brains it.
I
don't care.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, the biggest criticism and the coming from the biggest criticizer, Jim Park on Twitter. Because he makes logically stupid decisions.
Got it. Got it. Okay. He's logically stupid.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Boy, then he's a lucky SOB, isn't he?
Jeez.
He tripped and fell into this.
Yeah. I mean, who couldn't coach that collection of talent? You know, KD and Steph and Clay and Draymond.
Well,
Have coached that team to back-to-back titles?
But there's something to be said for that to a degree, but...
Well, there's a lot to be said for that.
Well, but, okay, if that's the case, if that's how you view it, then I don't even know why we have head coaches. Why are teams paying head coaches that much?
Well, someday we won't. It'll just be all AI. It'll all be just the machines. The machines will run it.
So will our opinions.
Yeah, and some want the machines to run umpiring, but we'll get into that down the road.
Well,
because,
good Lord.
You know, maybe machine would be better with the rotations than Steve Kerr, because obviously his rotations, they're just not good enough, Mark. I mean, poor guy's only won, 70? No, he's down to 65% of his regular season games and four titles.
I just, like, as a sports fan, and maybe this is illogical, maybe this is unfair, but as a sports fan, I leave open for the possibility that, like, a decision that came from a smart place ended up not working. Like, we tried
process
this.
Process versus results.
Right. Like, we tried this, you know? I don't know. This is just the first one that popped in my head. I was in favor of the 49ers drafting Trey Lance. I watched his pro day. I watched his pro day. I was like, he looks impressive. You know what I mean? I get it. I get it. When he's standing on a field throwing a football with no defense and no pads, I get it. He looks very impressive. So, okay. They obviously spoke to him. They ran him through the rigors of the academic side of being a quarterback. He crushed it. He seems like a great kid. Head screwed on, all straight. Looks the part. All right. We feel this is a smart decision. Good God, it was absolutely as disastrous as it could possibly be. As disastrous as it could possibly be. But don't you have to leave open for a few of those? There's no team, no coach, no general manager that doesn't have a list of those on their resume.
Of course, nobody's perfect. And so when you look at those situations, draft picks, or even play calls, because everybody wants to rip Kyle Shanahan for the Super Bowl, not when he was with Atlanta. You can rip him for that if you want. I think that you're an idiot because he was the coordinator and they scored 28 points and a half and had a 28-3 lead. But other Super Bowls, you can look at, you know, play calls that you didn't like. They should have run it. They should have passed it. Whatever. Process versus results. It's easy to look at that. And I think that's where we are with Steve Kerr and his rotations. If they go out tonight and they lose this game to Serbia because a couple of the players he puts in, if Joel Embiid comes in and he doesn't play well, Drew Holiday hit a corner three, maybe he misses it, and all the rest of it, Anthony Davis only played 10 minutes, and you mentioned Booker before. He got the start, and then he didn't go back to Booker, and that turned out to probably be a good move.
Probably.
So you can look at process or results, and it's easy to look at the results and then go back and judge the process.
Well, I also think, and this is a baked-in flaw in fan thinking, and I get it. Like, I've done this too. For some reason, when something's not going well, in the back of our minds, whoever's not in the game will do better.
It's the backup quarterback syndrome, right?
Exactly right. Like today, right now, I would like the Giants to not have Camilo Doval as their closer anymore. I would like to sleep on that because that might simply be reactive in this moment. Because in my head, Ryan Walker would have gotten the three outs, but maybe he wouldn't have. Maybe he would have given up four and they would have lost right there in the bottom of the ninth. So that's what I hear a lot when it's Steve Kerr. This is the whole Moses Moody experience. Night by night, we've decided that Moses Moody would do better if he were in there, as if he's never gone in and stunk up the joint, which is factually incorrect. Factually incorrect. It's a good player, though. I like him. Does he deserve more of an opportunity? I believe so. Is he going to get it? I believe so. But on a night-by-night basis, you can't tell me that everything would have been fine if we had just gone to Moses Moody. And sometimes it sounds like that.
You can think that, but sure, We'll never know. And that, I think, is where a lot of this lives, where you have this opinion that is unprovable. So Steve Kerr's rotations, if only he would have played fill-in-the-blank guy tonight a little bit more, they wouldn't have had to worry about that. You know, if only he would have played, you know, Kuminga more, then this would have happened. Well, we don't know that, but it's an unprovable thing. And so when it comes to criticism, it's easy to criticize something that happens that's a decision. You know, Kyle Shanahan would have just run the ball. If he just would have run the ball there, we would have won the Super Bowl.
Might have gotten stuffed.
Might have had a fumble.
Right.
It might have just immediately been something that the ball gets coughed up or the quarterback fumbles the exchange. Or you never know what's going to happen. So for me, it becomes an opinion that's unprovable, and a lot of that is what lives on Twitter now.
Well, sure.
I've got a take that can't be proven, which is why I give our friend Filippone from Pittsburgh a pass, because he stuck his neck out on something based on what he had heard. He reported something that he was 100% sure was going to happen, and so he put it out there.
And he might still be right, He might still be right.
But it's more risky than ripping Steve Kerr for his rotations, because that's unprovable.
I don't have any issue with the fact that Filippone, and for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Andrew Filippone, who's been on the station twice this week, he's at the Odyssey station, he's a host in Pittsburgh, he works for FanDuel as well, and obviously he's got sources within the Steelers organization, and he's been very firm that a trade is already in place and that Brandon Ayuk is on his way to Pittsburgh. I have no problem if you you want to tweet about that. I have a problem the way he tweeted about it. I just think that you have to be careful of putting things out as fact if they're still opinion. Like you've mentioned a couple of times, well, I've got an opinion that's unprovable. Well, of course you do, because if it's provable, it's no longer an opinion. That makes it a fact.
Well, like, yeah, facts so, are no longer facts. But go
fair,
ahead.
You're fair, but you get what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, if you present it as an opinion, well, then it's fine. That's your opinion. You can say whatever the heck you want. I believe Brandon Ayuk is going to end up with the Steelers. That's fine. Brandon's on his way to Pittsburgh. That's different. You stated that as a fact, and if it's not a fact, then you got to wear it. You know, you got to wear it. Let's go to Julian in San Bruno. Hey, Julian, thank you for calling. What's cooking?
Hey, what's happening? Well, I just got home, but had to chime on the conversation after the game with Serbia because that was a dang good game.
Doozy.
Got to say.
Yep.
Yeah, right? But anyways, I wanted to talk about Steve Kerr's hate and, like, in terms of degrees of separation, right? Like, so when did Kerr become the person that we all know him for? It was in parallel to Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan, right? And so, like, these various degrees of separation are, like, what kind of make us feel like he's not technically great, right? He's close to greatness. He's really close to Jordan and that whole era of the Bulls. He inherited this team with the greatest shooter of all time, right? And so now he has what it could be one of the greatest Olympic U.S. men's basketball teams of all time. All those things are debatable, right? But at the end of the day, like, Steve Kerr does not equal greatness, right? It's like it's in relation to versus him actually equaling it. And because he doesn't have that label of being great, like, I feel like that gives people more reason to hate on him.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's valid.
It's a good point, Julian. I think he equals greatness. I think he's achieved greatness. I get your point, and I don't even know if you're speaking for yourself or just kind of what you view in the public at large. But like, he used the word inherited. He inherited this Warrior team to a degree. There are a lot of pieces of it that he did not inherit. Draymond Green was not doing much before Steve Kerr. His offense very much is what put them over the top. Like, you have to give credit for the fact that even if you call it an inheritance, like, George Seifert inherited a team. They were already champions.
Barry Switzer inherited a team.
Right. Like, Steve Kerr inherited a team that had not gotten over the top, and he got him over the top. I'm also not going to say, oh, he doesn't get credit for Team USA because, look how good the roster is. That's what every Team USA roster looks like. There's never been a Team USA roster where you look at it and you're like, man, they're a little short on talent. I mean,
well, and coaching is about more than just, you know, getting people better. It's about balancing egos, and it's about
for sure
managing talent. And so the fact that Steve Kerr inherited a team, yes, he did for the most part, but then they have added pieces. Pieces changed over the years, and the players that they have, they got better. Draymond Green was on his way to being great, and Steve Kerr, I think, really helped unlock him as an offensive player.
Yeah.
And he became more than just a great defender and a glue guy. He became your point guard, ostensibly.
Right, and plus, also, I would say this. This is just a rule for me. If you're going to put someone in position to where they will be criticized if it doesn't go well, then you got to credit them when it does. So if you were going to come down Steve's road if they lost, then I'm sorry. You have to credit him if they win. That's just the way I go about it. I don't think it's fair to only set it up where one side of the table is active. You'll be criticized if they lose, and you'll be brushed aside if they win. Well, that's lame. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. So if you were prepared to say Steve's a big choke artist, I can't believe we didn't make the gold medal game, well, now they did. So, nice job, Steve.
Yeah, nice.
Out of bed.
Well, and the entire staff, because yes, it was looking late third like they were in some real trouble. And about the only offense they had was Steph, and so you can't play everybody every minute, and you go to the second unit and things don't get much better, and then you go back to your starters, and they were able to turn it around. And ultimately, in the NBA, or by proxy, the Olympic tournament, the players are going to make most of the impact on deciding the game. You're not going to see a coach who's going to pull something out of the hat. I think in basketball more than the other sports, because in football, there's play calls, and the play calls a lot of times can really make the difference between a winning team and a losing team. And in baseball, you make certain calls about who you go to in the bullpen, and the Giants may have a tougher call in their next game about who you want to close out a game after what we saw today. But in basketball, ultimately, even in the Olympics, you're going to ride with your best players. So you got down to like 6 minutes to go. All right, Steph, KD, LeBron, Embiid, you guys get in there. We're going to ride or die with you because you're our best players.
What's up, Lucas?
Probably the loudest criticism that Steve Kerr has heard over these three, four games, however the many Olympic games they've played, was about Jason Tatum getting zero minutes. Yes. I don't know if anyone checked the box score tonight. DNP CD again for Tatum.
Well,
so he's not afraid to make tough decisions.
And is Halliburton injured? Is he a little bit banged up? Is that why he didn't play?
Probably just the last person on the bench.
Halliburton hadn't played. Has he played at all?
Played garbage time. I mean, yeah.
He has not played an important minute yet in the whole thing. And that's the way a basketball team works.
Yeah, Derek White got 7 minutes, and you know Bam got 9. So really, if you look at it, he played basically 7 guys, and then Edwards and Anthony Davis got a couple of little mini stints.
Yeah.
He shortened down that rotation.
Jason Tatum is not going to join the Warriors as a free agent as long as Steve Kerr is still the coach, just like Brandon Ingram probably won't.
And maybe we can hold this topic for another day, but just watching today in particular, but watching this entire tournament, Joe Lacob, I know you're listening because you love the station. Go get Kevin Durant.
Go get Kevin Durant.
Go get KD. Call your guy in Phoenix. He doesn't want to pay him.
I think he would. I think Joe would. I don't think he's available.
No doubt. No, but when you watch those two together.
Trade deadline.
And forget LeBron, because Steph and LeBron, I don't know if you saw the moment after the game. LeBron goes over, grabs Steph by the head, and he presses his forehead against Steph's, and basically he was saying...
He tried to pop him.
Steph practically jumped into LeBron's arms.
Yes, it's a magical little thing they got going.
You know what's it? Okay, now I got a quick aside.
Finally, pay the over on quick asides.
Good Lord. No, there's a hypocrisy that's spilling out all over this room right now.
No, it's patriotism.
If Draymond hugs LeBron, it's an international incident.
Yes.
He's subordinate. They're buddies, and they should. Oh, why don't you just go join him in L.A.? Steph and LeBron are skipping through Paris, and everybody loves it.
You know why?
Why?
Team USA, Mark, and I'm sorry that you're not enough of a patriot. Where's my red hat?
Yeah, stick it to him, dude.
I'll put my red hat back on.
You put a red hat on?
And I wore the red hat today.
Go ahead, put a red hat on.
Just because we talked.
Yeah.
It's tremendous, this hat.
Make 95.7 the game great again. Go ahead.
We talked off the air yesterday, and I'm going to write this bit, and I'll deliver it on the air about... You know, certain colors that you can no longer wear because of the assimilation to certain things. I refuse to give heed to that. Similarly, when it comes to America, and they're both representing America, you guys can hug each other, you can hold hands and skip down the Champs-Élysées, you could do whatever you want, but when these Olympics are over, he had better be dead to you again.
I cannot handle you with the red hat over the top of your headset.
I like it.
I swear you look like you just came from the barn. Like you, I mean,
it's tremendous. This hat is tremendous.
Amazing look.
Yeah, I'm gonna ride
it. Get over to YouTube.
Let me punch up the camera.
You need a tight belt, and you need to stand up right now and lift it.
Let me tell you a couple things.
And then make some noises.
Got me a new combine. I was doing some farming. Yeah, I need a piece of straw coming out. Piece of wheat. That's what I need. Yeah. Yeah, Willard. You like it, don't you?
Oh, gosh. No, I'm just running all kinds of things through my head that I shouldn't say, and so I won't.
Just do it. Do it.
You won't.
I'll be careful now. Be careful.
He was great this morning.
He was phenomenal. You want to hear a little bit?
Love to.
Like to hear it? Here it go. This is Herm on if the relationship between Ayuk and the Niners can be repaired.
Absolutely. This is business. And this is what you tell every player when you're the head coach, when a player is going through the contract negotiation. You always tell the players this, just watch what happens during these negotiations. If it gets into the news cycle, then you're going to have to deal with all that. But at the end of the day, guys, that's the business part of it. It's not personal. And I think sometimes players need to learn that, too. This is business. It's nothing against you. It's just business. And business is different than being a football player or being a football coach. And so with that being said, hopefully this thing will transpire where it can get done, where both parties, you know, will shake hands and hug each other and get going. And if not, then, you know, Brandon will go somewhere else and the 49ers will have to regroup and continue to go. And at the end of the day, guys, you know, I've always said this. It's like if a player gets hurt in the opening game, you can't cancel the season. You got to play.
I totally agree with him. I think the relationship is good by practice if he were to sign. I think they're fine. I don't know if he wants to go to dinner with Parag, but who cares? You don't need to be friends with Parag to go play for the 49ers.
Yeah, and I wonder if any of them actually are. You know, the guy who goes to war with you every time that you're trying to get money.
You don't see him out there bro-hugging everybody on the field.
No, he's up in his office.
Stays in his office.
Grinding on people. Yeah.
Calling agents and undressing them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or not calling agents if the reports are to be believed about Brandon Ayuk.
All right, we're going to get into more of the Herm. But before that, FP is going to join us because we really do. We got to get into this Giants game a little bit. They're over 500. That's wonderful. It was pouring rain. It was ridiculous. Is Doval still the closer? We've got questions to ask. FP hops in here next. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. This is Willard and Dibs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.